Thanks, Margie.
Good morning. I was going to wear my dark preacher suit this morning, and I said, you know, today is the start of the second month of spring, which is sort of a surprise if you check the weather, but so. No, it might be not long enough. But it's good to be back. Before I start, I don't know if you heard, but I got a sort of a surprise. Came about, I got a phone call about a little over a week ago, really. A little over a week ago, and to cut a long story short, on Tuesday I started as the acting principal at Maranatha Christian Academy. So... Well, they might clap too, but will they clap in 2 weeks? I don't know. But I ask you to remember a couple of people in your prayers. Amy Kulik, who is the principal, she is suffering from lupus, and she just cannot return to work. You know, if you would keep her in your prayers, very nice young lady, and me. This is quite a change. I'm thinking, yes, warm weather is going to come on. I'm going to have to wear long pants, which I don't usually do in warm weather. And I have to get up early in the morning and all this stuff that I've been sort of weaning myself off of that. But it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. But I would appreciate your prayers. And there's a lot of things to do during the day, I've been finding out. And none of them take a little bit of time. And while I'm here, as my just telling you about my being principal of Maranatha, and I'm going to make this shameless sales pitch this morning for Friends of Maranatha. There is a system whereby you can give Maranatha some money to Maranatha every month by just filling out one of these little forms, of which I brought about a dozen with me. I got them from. Given to me this morning because I had called and asked for them early this morning. And you find out with the school always needs money. And it seems every time I make a decision, then I have to call somebody and say, oh, I made this decision. I hope it's all right because it's going to cost this much money. Or sometimes I just do it and they'll find out later. I bet, you know, don't tell anybody who would be on the board or anything like that, but it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. I've used that philosophy for many years. But you might think about that, Maranatha. It's worthwhile. And when I was asked to go back to Maranatha and told the situation they were in, not only the principal, but the elementary vice principal is there until this Friday, and then she's going on maternity leave. And there's a new, unexperienced person coming in. I used to deal with discipline. I dealt with discipline in the high school, both instances I had in 8 years. And but, you know, it's a new role for this young lady, too. And there's always something going on. So you can even just... you can commit to $10 a month, as little as that. And it's one of those things, or $25. I figure if $25 a month, if you buy your coffee at Starbucks, that's only two coffees a month, I think, by their prices. So I have these here, and if you would like to take one and fill it out, you can mail it into them. You could bring it back to me next week. I think they come out the 15th of the month, so the first one wouldn't come out until then. I'd really like you to think about that seriously. And by the way, if you want to give large amounts, I am told that that is allowed also. Okay? So I'll have these here, and I'll just keep them beside me here. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day, for the sunshine that we have. Thank you that we live in a free country where we can freely come together and discuss your word, talk about our faith and our hopes, our futures. We thank you for the Bible, that when you think of it in human terms, it should not even exist. And yet we can all have one. and look at writings from hundreds of years ago and see your truth in it. So we just thank you all for this, and I ask you for your help. You know that when we are speaking and giving out your word, it's only through your help that we can do that, and I ask for that help now. We just praise you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have, in looking at this today, I have this thing with numbers, and I think I might have told you before, when I was teaching, I used to ask my students, because at that time, there were some computers came out. I used to teach computers, that a computer that could do a billion decisions in a second. So I'm thinking, you know, 1/1,000,000th of a second. So in order to relate that number, I flipped it the other way. How long is 1,000,000,000 seconds? So I would ask my students, how many 1,000,000,000 seconds do you think you've lived? The highest answer I ever got was 26, by the way. And so then after I would get all these answers, I would say to them, well, there's really only one person in this room who has lived 1,000,000,000 seconds. And they could all guess that I was the oldest. And now I'm starting into my third billion now, but 1,000,000,000 seconds is 33 years. And I have met some people who've gone three and are still going strong, so that's good to hear. Nice to see that. But also I started thinking, because I have a strange mind, we were singing Amazing Grace somewhere, and you know that verse, when we've been there 10,000 years. So I started thinking, well, why did he say 10,000? Why not 5,000? I know he wouldn't say 37,000, because then it wouldn't fit into the... But why not 3,000? Why 10,000? So then I started thinking, if you're talking 10,000 years in the future, of course, with my twisted logic, where would we be 10,000 years in the past? So actually, I got on the internet last night and I was looking, what do you think was happening 10,000 years ago? Were there dinosaurs on the earth? Was it cavemen? Was it ancient battles being fought in Rome, etc.? Actually, 10,000 years ago, you'd be sitting around, I don't know where, okay, because about 6,500 years ago, give or take a little bit, Adam was created. So when you're talking 10,000 years, it's really a long time. And I think what happens is, because we listen to the news about governments, and they come up with such large numbers, trillions and billions, that we don't, well, 10,000 doesn't sound like long, but really, we're talking here 600 BC, so we're only talking back to the time of Daniel, round figures, 2,700 years. 10,000, that's quite a few. So I just put that in because when we're talking about some of the times here, time's sort of a strange thing. There is somebody saying there's this planet. Did you see that? There's some planet they think could sustain Earth, or would sustain life like the planet Earth, but it's 257 million light years away, and light travels so many times. So really, the picture they saw was really... When they saw it, but it was 257 million years ago. They say, as astronomers, if you think about that long enough, you'll just go insane. And I think I believe them. And we're getting back to Daniel. We're talking about Daniel. Daniel's a book of major importance. He's called one of the major prophets. Daniel is one of the people in the Old Testament. Nothing bad is ever said about Daniel. Daniel and I think the other one is Joseph. And when Daniel was first coming out, of people looking at it, they were saying, it's just not possible that Daniel could have written this book when he said he wrote this book, because it is too exact. And he's talking, and the ones we'll look at today, he's writing in 600 BC about things that were happening, that were going to happen in 300 BC. So they're saying, well, most likely some guy wrote this in 200 BC and then knew these things historically, wrote this up and said it was 600 BC. And that went on for quite a while. But the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they were found, that sort of debunked that theory because of the age of those scrolls. And Daniel was probably one of the most exact books that was found at that time. And we'll get on to the reasons why I think that was. Daniel was a contemporary of Jeremiah, a contemporary of Ezekiel. They lived about the same time. And I'm going to run very quickly through the first chapters because I know it's been a while since I've spoken to you. But in 605 BC, King Jehoiakim was defeated by King Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar at that time was not yet king, but became so shortly after. And Daniel was taken to Babylon. And guessing that Daniel was around 15 years of age. Okay? After that, by the way, Zedekiah, who was the last Davidic king, he was captured and taken to Babylon, but he was the king of reigning in Jerusalem from 597 to 586 BC. And if you're like me, I have terrible times when the years go by, the numbers get lower. When they go backwards, it's kind of confusing to me. But he was the last of the Davidic kings. And today, to this time, from 586 BC until right now, there has not been a Davidic king on the throne in Israel. This is sometimes referred to in the scriptures as the time of the Gentiles or the time of the nations. And in chapter 1, Daniel, at the young age of 15, and I'm sorry if you're 15 and think, oh, I'm not that young, but this is me. At the young age of 15, stayed very true to his God and with the food, etc. they had. And in chapter 2, Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And that was the famous statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream with a head of gold, the breasts and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, and the legs of iron. And those represented four kingdoms to come, or not to come. The head of gold was Babylon, the kingdom that was present that day. Then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And after that, and at the end of the church age, there's another one they showed, feet of clay and iron, and they show that being, and then they also showed the stone cut without hands, which was the Lord, and then he destroys that and everything tumbles. In chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar made this golden image of himself, and that ended up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace. And I mention that because this is the first theophany in David. A theophany is an appearance of the Lord and shown to humans, but really they don't know who it is. And when the three men were in the fire, in the fiery furnace, and even the people who opened the door to throw them in were killed by the heat. And these three went in, and then King Nebuchadnezzar said, there's a fourth person in there who looks like the Son of God. And even back 600 years before his birth, he was seen and recognized because he most likely was the Son of God. In chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, or in chapter 3, by the way, is the last we hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're never mentioned again. In chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, with his pride, it led to his downfall. He went off and lived as an animal for many years. And in chapter 4 was the last we heard about King Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 5, Daniel interprets the writing on the wall. And when we get to chapter 5, you get the feeling that Daniel is no longer in the positions of power that he was before. And he was sort of an afterthought to explain what this was. And he told the king that his empire would end that night. And that night that king was killed, I think the Medes came in. Anyway, somebody came in and he was done. And that day that that writing was on the wall was the end of the Babylonian Empire and the start of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, in chapter 6, in the Medo-Persian Empire, the king Darius, is tricked because of the jealousy of the other people in government, the jealousy of the honor and the power that was given to Daniel. And Daniel, I don't want to get time trying to do this very quickly, Daniel ended up in the lion's den. But if you look in Daniel chapter 6, verse 22, might as well turn there because we're going to be in Daniel for a while, in 6:22, this is perhaps, and I say perhaps, another theophany, although Daniel says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not heard me." Now, no one saw this but Daniel, and he said it was an angel, so perhaps it was not, but a mention of angels here. And then chapter 7 bounces back in time, and my explanation for that was, I don't know why, but it does bounce back in time, because each chapter sort of starts with time, what tells you when it was, and there Daniel had the vision of the beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the fourth beast that was indescribable. The lion being Babylon again, the bear being the Medo-Persian Empire again, the leopard being the Grecian Empire. What was interesting about the leopard was the leopard had four heads. And this, of course, was hundreds of years before Alexander the Great led the Grecian Empire. But then when he died and he had no heirs, his empire was divided up into his four generals, thus the four heads. The fourth beast being the Roman Empire, and then with the Roman Empire, they talk about the ten horns and the little horn that ruled over all the other ten horns, referring to the Antichrist in the future. In chapter 8, Daniel saw the vision of the ram and the goat. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, and he was told once again, the ram and the goat, that was the Medo-Persian and the Grecian Empire, and a lot of details about them and what was going to happen. Chapter 9, the last chapter I did, was Daniel's prayer for the people, which I've heard some people say is a wonderful prayer written in the Bible. And in chapter 9, at the end, from verse 24 to the end of the chapter, they're talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And we went through and said how those 70 weeks applied to history, and with the walls being built, the Messiah coming in, but then the Messiah being cut off, and all of these things, how they worked within time periods. And then going on and talking about the 70th week. We talked about that view of looking through the channels of the future, and the 70th week has not yet happened. The 70th week of Daniel, sometimes referred to by people, never in the scriptures, as the tribulation period. Okay, in the scriptures they talk about the last half of the Daniel 70th week as being a time of great tribulation, but the whole period is never called that. It's either Daniel's 70th week or Jacob's time of trouble, which leads us to chapter 10. Okay, now chapter 10, 11, and 12 really run together, and they show the final revelation that was given to David. Okay, and in chapter 10, we are shown how David is prepared to receive this vision. So if you look at Daniel chapter 10, and starting in verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. So even though he's been there now 70 years, this is approximately 70 years after he was taken, Daniel was 85 years old. So I suppose a lot of people in here are saying, 85, boy, that's really old. Some people saying, oh, 85, well, that's not far away. Or if Mr. Kelton was here, he could say, I don't know if he is here or not. I talked to him this morning. I told him I was going to say this, so I got his permission. He'd be saying, to be 85 again. And he said, that's true. Daniel's 85 and still working. Well, which is sort of makes me feel good. I don't feel so bad now. I went in and my first stint at Maranatha, I suddenly realized that I think everyone except one or two people on staff were all younger than my children. And I didn't feel too bad until I realized now that one of the teachers is younger than my two oldest grandchildren. So, but there I am. So it's the third year of Cyrus, 536. This period of time, this was the end of the 70th year of captivity in Babylon. And Daniel had read the writings of Jeremiah, and he knew that this was a period of time when some of the Jews would go back to Israel. But it appears that he did not. Now, this may be because of his job. He was very busy. He was still, as far as we know, prime minister of that kingdom. And he was pretty old to travel. You know, couldn't put him on a plane and send him over there in an hour or two. The main mode of transportation then for most people was walking. So he was not going back, but this is, in about this time period. He said, the message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks because of this vision. He went into mourning for 3 full weeks. It would be 21 days. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then he said, now on the 24th day of the first month, probably equivalent time to ours, about April, about now, come to think of it, was this the 21st? 24th day of the first month. As I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, remember Babylon was, there was the Tigris and the Euphrates, ran right near Babylon. I lifted my eyes, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of upaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. So here we have another theophany. Because of the glory that is presented here in this picture, you would almost certainly think that this would be an appearance of the Lord Jesus to Daniel. But this causes some problems with people reading this because of what comes on later. But I think actually this is a theophany, this is the Lord Jesus, but there is also another being there. I'm assuming another angel. So, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Somewhat like when the Lord appeared to Paul, the people that were with him saw a bright shining light, they heard voices, but they didn't see anything. And I'm sure it would frighten them. I mean, I think now if we were walking down the street and a voice came out of the air, well, with the things we see today with microphones and speakers and that everywhere, that may not be that frightening. But to them, I'm sure it was. And these people, they didn't see the vision. It doesn't say they heard anything. They just became so afraid that they ran away to hide. Therefore I was left alone, I being Daniel, when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. So you'd have to picture, I suppose, that when this voice started, Daniel just fell down, and he's lying prostrate on the ground, face first, almost like in a trance, and hearing these words. And then he says, suddenly, in verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. So when this hand touched him, Daniel now is brought up to where he's on his hands and his knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So now he is standing up. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. And you know, often when angels or other beings appear to people, don't be afraid. When the angel appeared to Mary, don't be afraid. They're just trying to calm me down. I must be quite an instance. Do not fear, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, that would be when Daniel came out with his prayer that was in verse 9. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now the question is, who is this I? And this, in my thinking and what I've been reading, was not the person he saw, because he says now, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, or angels, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, if this were the Lord Jesus talking to him, there is no way that an angel is going to be able to delay him for 3 weeks. So what I think is there is a second person there who is telling him not to be afraid. And that Michael, interestingly, there are only two angels ever named in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. Michael, it is said, is an archangel. Gabriel may be, but it never says in the scriptures that he is. And then we had this discussion when I was at the church down south. He said, and angels don't sing. So I started looking back, and he says, I know you're looking back to where the angels appeared to the shepherds, and you think they were singing, but they weren't. So I wouldn't say the angels don't sing. I would say the angels don't sing in the scriptures. Maybe they can. And also, strangely enough, there's never shown in the scriptures a female angel. So, I don't know. But, you know, I have talked to people, and I should tell you that my brother and his wife were somewhere and on an island somewhere for a vacation, and they told them, don't walk in the streets at night. So he's like me. So I said, well, we'll go to this restaurant. And he's a little tight with his money. So he said, well, it's only a block or so down here. We'll just walk instead of taking a cab. So he's walking down this road, he and his wife. It's a little on the dark side. If you've been into, you know, some of these Caribbean islands, the housing, etc., is not that great. And about four guys came out of this alley-like thing in front of them, up ahead of them. My brother's going, uh-oh. But just kept walking along. And he said, then this other couple appeared. He says, I have no idea where they came from. Another couple, a man and a woman. And they walked beside them, and these four people, when they saw them, they just left. And when they got to the restaurant, that couple was gone. So I can't tell my sister-in-law. So I said, I'm not sure that all angels are males. She says, no, I saw one that was female. So, but Michael is the archangel. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now the kings of Persia, who are they? They must be the fallen angels. So this is showing us, and I think what it was going on then, and I'm sure is still going on today, there is spiritual warfare going on in the world between the angels of Satan, the fallen angels, and the angels of the Lord. And there's some things in Daniel that suggest that every country sort of has a main angel that is taking care of it. And most likely has a myriad of angels to help them out, depending how much help they need. But there is spiritual battles. And don't ever think that Satan, he's a pretty clever guy. Think about this. From the time of Adam until Noah, and I was going to relook that up again because I forget it, but it's quite a few years. Say 1,000 years. I'm just picking that number out of the air. When God looked at the earth, Satan was alive and working on the earth. How many people on the earth did he find that were worth saving? 8. So those same forces are working now. And we have to help in the fight against him. So this angel was held up. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So this is the vision that he's going to be given. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly now, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. This, I think, what they call the glorious man who was on the other side of the river. One having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Have you ever felt like that? There's just no energy left. Things are so heavy on your heart. You're just worn out. You sometimes don't even want to stand up. And then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, "O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. So in those moments, when you have no strength left in you, when the world has worn you out, there's always someone you can turn to give you strength, and that's the Lord Jesus. Always keep that in mind. Go to him in prayer, and that strength will come back to you. Then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come." Foretelling the future again. "But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. And then they have something which I find is kind of strange in this. They have a bracketed section that starts in one chapter and finishes in another. And that goes into chapter 11. And then they go into and talk about these visions, which really I don't have time to do today. Because I want to ask you this one question. Why do you think Daniel was written? Of course, Daniel was written, and it's telling us all these things that are to come, but we already know they happen. We can go to history books, and we could find out that, yes, there was a Babylonian Empire. Yes, they were defeated. The Medo-Persians took over. The Medes were the strong ones at first, and then the Persians took over, as is shown in Daniel's illustrations. Then Greece, and it went up into four parts, and the thing about Antiochus Epiphanes. It's all in history books. Why do we need it here? And why do people keep saying this book can't be true? So I'm going to give you just a little sneak preview of the ending of this whole talk, the ending of this whole series, on Daniel. And if you look up forward to chapter 12, and starting in the middle of verse 1, "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. Your people shall be delivered." There's going to be this great trouble, but your people are going to be taken out of it. You can see that in Thessalonians. Hope that's right. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Sorry. As an aside, when I say this, "those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever," I always think of Durrett. Durrett's, you know, every time I've seen him, he's gotten so much better. And he was saying to my wife and I yesterday, "This is really a mission field, you know." And he's so amazing. He's here in his hospital bed. He can't walk that well, but his spirits are just great. And when he sends his tray back, he put tracks on it. He said two people already come up and ask him about them. And then I could tell he's getting better, and he says, "Oh yeah, there's this lady who does the floor. Her name is, I forget it, and she spells it this way, and she's from Puerto Rico, and she came here with her family, and she's doing this and doing that." And I'm thinking, oh yes, the old Duard's back. Yeah. And I could see him like the stars forever and ever. Here's my point. Daniel's saying this is going to happen in the future. And everything else that he has said up to this point, everything else we can see is so correct. And he gives into chapter 11, he gives a really detailed description of what is called the intertestament period between Malachi and Matthew. There's a period of about the 400 silent years. There was no prophetical writings. There was no prophetical preaching. It was just quiet before the Lord Jesus came. But he describes all sorts of political things and actions with countries always focused around Jerusalem, the kings of the north, the kings of the south. And everything in the Bible, if you have somebody from the north, north of Jerusalem. If they're from the south, south of Jerusalem. East and the west, east and west of Jerusalem. But we know that everything he has said up to this point is so true, is so accurate. How can we deny that this is? And so we can show this to people and say, "This," he said, "this would happen, this would happen, this would happen." And it happened, it happened, it happened. Showing us that the Bible is so true. As a matter of fact, a person I talk to says, "I don't say the Bible is true. I say the Bible is truth. It's all there. It's all written down. Hundreds of years before it happened. And this one, thousands of years before it happened. But we can rely that it will happen." And then you can ask that person, like I'll ask you, "Are you ready?" "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Do you know which group you're in? Do you know what will happen to you when you leave this earth? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? That's a simple question. If you're not sure, ask me, I will try to help you. Ask some of the brothers here who would most likely have more wisdom. I would send you to Durrett if you were here. But it's a question, ask yourself, am I going to be with the Lord? Because that is going to be the place to go. So, I'm hoping next time I start that I'm going to finish chapters 11 and 12. But you know, this Bible study I go to, he starts out and he says, well, we'll do chapter 11 today. And after an hour and 15 minutes, gets up to about verse 3. But one or two more sessions, I think I will finish off Daniel. But Daniel does, it's such an important book to me in that it shows God's truth. And there's no denying what's coming. And we all think it's going to happen now. And I'm sure that over the years, everyone is sure. I bet if we could hear radio programs from 100 years ago, if there were any, they'd be saying, the time is close, the time is close, just as we're saying it now. And I think maybe that's because when it comes down to it, really, we boil it right down, none of us really wants to die. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to die. I sort of like it here. Well, I can. And so everyone thinks, but... And there are people come up with all sorts of theories. I heard one that there's another Malachi who has written a book about all the popes of the church. And the next 112 popes in the church. And this book, so I'm told, I haven't seen it. And I've heard it's only available in Latin, so I haven't read it. And he's amazingly correct describing all of these popes and up to 112. And he's the last one. Well, it gets through the 112th pope, the one from today. When you number them up, he's 112 from when this was written. So I don't know. I know the Lord is coming. I couldn't say. Yeah, I know he could come tomorrow. He could come within the hour. And it could be 100 years from now. But I know that he's coming. So, like a Boy Scout, be prepared, be ready. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the message you've given us, for your word. Thank you for all the believers who are here today. And I ask you, Father, to work in the hearts of those who have not yet accepted your gift of salvation, not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Just pray for them, Father. Pray that this decision would be made soon. Be made before it's too late. Now as we go on our way to our various homes, we ask you to watch over us. Pray especially for those who are ill and in hospital and some who cannot be here because of age or other problems. We ask you to be with them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I have these here too.